the Public News Service DOAA Newscast, May the 30th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The moment that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a sweeping elections bill into law last week, several voter advocacy groups filed lawsuits against it.
Senate Bill 7050 creates a broad set of restrictions for third-party voter registration groups. It cuts the amount of time they have to submit voters' applications and adds new and higher fines for late submissions. ST Connor with Demos, a think tank that focuses on racial justice, says her group's lawsuit targets a new provision that bans any non-citizen from getting involved in voter registration work. Connor says it directly impacts groups she represents, such as Hispanic Federation and Poder Latinx, that have a long history of helping people register to vote.
And really what this law does is it is an attack on the ability of Floridians, regardless of their immigration status, to participate in the democratic process.
The bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Lawrence McClure of Dover, said the bill is meant to hold voter registration groups to high standards and protect voters' personal information. Groups like the League of Women Voters and other plaintiffs are also suing, claiming the law is unconstitutional and violates the First and 14th Amendments. I'm Tramell Gomes.
That new law also requires organizations to provide voter registration applicants with a receipt detailing the voter's personal information. Now, from the New York Times, one of the most contentious issues surrounding talks over raising the debt limit has been whether the Biden administration would agree to stricter work requirements for people seeking food stamps and other safety net assistance. The Times reports the deal reached this weekend includes something of a compromise. It includes work requirements for SNAP and cash welfare, but does not alter requirements for Medicaid. And an Indiana licensing board has fined a local doctor $3,000 and handed her a letter of reprimand after she went public about her 10-year-old Ohio patient forced to travel against state lines for an abortion.
Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita brought the case against Dr. Caitlin Bernard for comments she made last July to the Indianapolis Star about a young rape victim who could not legally receive an abortion in Ohio because she was just over 6 weeks pregnant. Bernard testified she did not feel she would have ever been brought before the board where she risked losing her license if Rokita had not chosen to make the case a political stunt.
I feel an obligation as a physician to share information that is relevant to public health, as well as potentially in light of certain legislation, ensuring that it is clear that those are contrary to the best interests of my patients.
I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
This is Public News Service. And whether it is recent debt ceiling negotiations or the debate over the Farm Bill reauthorization, a key federal food assistance program is again at the mercy of budget haggling.
House Republicans have pushed for expanding work requirements for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, arguing it would incentivize more recipients to work. But Colleen Moriarty with the group Hunger Solutions feels it would actually do the opposite. She says food insecurity would instantly become a huge barrier in job search efforts.
It's like if you want someone to work and you cut off their access to public transportation to get to a job, then they can't get there. If they don't have any food, they're hungry. They can't concentrate on what it is they're doing.
A tentative debt ceiling deal was reached over the weekend, and it does include some expanded work requirements for able-bodied adults without dependents, but there are also now exemptions for veterans and those experiencing homelessness. I'm Mike Moen.
Now to New Hampshire, where the state ranks second in the nation for healthy senior living. That's according to a new report.
UnitedHealthcare's 2023 senior report measures the physical, mental, and social well-being of Americans age 65 and older and shows that increased community support services have led to a 6% decline in food insecurity. UnitedHealthcare Chief Medical Officer and Executive Vice President Dr. Rhonda Randall says more eligible seniors are taking advantage of federal programs such as SNAP to alleviate hunger.
Less seniors are worried about getting access to nutritious food. More seniors got home-delivered meals, and more seniors got assistance with meals.
Randall says efforts that began during the pandemic to help keep vulnerable seniors fed and healthy show that with the right investments, the lives of older adults can improve. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
New Hampshire's abundance of outdoor recreational areas is described as a boon to senior health and prevents social isolation. Finally, Alex Gonzalez reports a piece of legislation headed to Governor Joe Lombardo's desk would allow medical aid in dying in Nevada.
Last week, Senate Bill 239 made its way out of the state assembly on a 23-19 vote, which could give terminally ill adults the option to request a medical prescription for a peaceful death in the Silver State. Sarah Manns with Compassion and Choices Action Network says she's thankful to Senator Edgar Flores for shepherding it through what she calls a challenging legislative obstacle course. Manns adds the support for the law is overwhelming, and according to a new poll by the group, 82% of Nevada support medical aid in dying legislation.
Regardless of political affiliation, regardless of religion, regardless of rural, urban, this is something where once people know what it is.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.